Good afternoon. For those who don't know me, my name is James. I come from the UK, from Bristol, but I've been living here in Germany for the last 16 years. 2009, we arrived. It is my privilege to be able to share the word with you today and also to be able to serve this church as the pastor. Before we have the reading and the proclamation of the word, let me say a word of prayer for us as well. So I invite you to close your eyes if you'd like to do that and to bow your heads and join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you have not left us alone. We thank you that we don't have to scratch our heads and try to figure out how we are to live this life and what we are to do. You have revealed this. You have your good and precious will for every one of my brothers and sisters. We thank you, Jesus, that you are a good gift giver. And as we talk about the gifts that you give, the manifestations of yourself, I just pray, would we learn, Father, and would we grow as faithful and trustworthy Christians? I pray, Father, would you do a work in our hearts? I pray that each and every one of my brothers and sisters here today will not leave without hearing something that they need to hear for them, very specific. Would you lay it on their hearts here today, Jesus? And would we once again walk away from here glorifying and lifting up your name? To you be the glory, Jesus, and not us. In your name I pray this. Amen. So we're going to start a very kind of short three-part sermon series about the spiritual gifts. So the title for today is Discovering the Spiritual Gifts, and we're going to look at some guidelines, basically, some need-to-knows, some principles of it, and then we'll also look at the purpose of the gifts. Next week, we're going to talk about more, what are the gifts? We'll look at some of the actual gifts themselves, how we may discover those gifts, if you're actually not sure of that, how we may test those gifts. So we're going to find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, and also next week. Then we have that church retreat, which we just looked at. And then on the 15th, the last part of this sermon series, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, prophecy and tongues. And so I invite you to please open up your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians. So we will read chapter 12, 1 to 11. But this week, we're going to focus on verses 1 to 7. And then next week, we'll look at verses 8 to 11. But just for the context, I'm going to read all 11 verses today. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. As we go through it, those seven verses then, verses 1 to 7, just to have some structure as we unpack them, this will be it. The first point will be about just getting the groundwork, how important it is to be informed, about the spiritual gifts. Then we'll really camp out on this second one, God in his gifts. And then thirdly, we'll look at more the purpose. A spiritual gift is a responsibility. So in Paul's first letter then to the church in Corinth, he's addressing kind of a series of many issues. There's lots of issues and problems that this very young, very gifted, carnal church has been facing. If you are ever feeling a little bit low and kind of downcast about the kind of state of the church in the West, take a look at 1 Corinthians and just read through some of the things that they were facing. You have tolerance of sexual immorality, full-on tolerance. You have Christians taking each other to court. You have abuse of the Lord's Supper. You have a denial of the resurrection. But it's interesting. I find it quite interesting, actually, that Paul gives more space to the topic of spiritual gifts than any of those other topics. He does not want them to be uninformed. Don't be uninformed, have misunderstanding about it, because they were uninformed. The church in Corinth at this time had a lot of divisions and rivalries were going on because of this topic of spiritual gifts. A kind of spiritual elitism had crept into the church. And so Paul's purpose, especially in these first opening verses, is to make clear the purpose of the gifts. Then a little bit later, if you read on in chapter 12, he actually tells us, well, you're all part of the body of Christ. What is this kind of rivalry? Then in the next chapter, he gives us a warning. Listen, this is all meaningless without love. Don't allow pride to seep in. You see, the church at Paul's time, not only in Corinth, but everywhere, were very familiar with worshiping mute idols. Maybe you would have some pagan priest uttering some wild, ecstatic thing under the control of some demon or something like that, or you yourself worshiping this idol may be quite able to decide what the idol is saying to you. But they weren't quite used to receiving this kind of revelation from the Lord. Now, we too, as I've shared many times in the last months, are also prone to being led astray by mute idols. They may look different to the ones 2,000 years ago. They may even look a little bit like ourselves. Because in 2025, the idol of self is the one that dominates us. But also, the church, when we look at it, the global church, has also struggled with this topic of spiritual gifts. We can see some division and misunderstanding about them. And this can come about for many reasons. One of the reasons could be, well, you're quite growing in the faith, and there has not been, so far, clear teaching on this topic. You have not received discipleship and clear teaching on this topic. You may not even be aware of it, or just not even interested. You're just not even interested in this topic. Or you think, no, this is a topic for the elites, for the leaders. Everybody else just kind of tries to get by. Some other Christians have a few gifts kind of thing. Or you may, sadly, have experienced some kind of manipulation. You may have been on the wrong end of a gift being misused. So the first point, the first thing I want to say about being informed is verse 3. Verse 3 tells us, no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Let's read that again. No one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who gives gifts because God is a good gift giver, is all about glorifying Jesus. He is all about making Jesus great. It is the Holy Spirit who first works in someone's heart, revealing to them the understanding of their truth, allowing them, enabling them to come to this understanding and cry out, Jesus is Lord. And if you are sitting here today and you are crying out, Jesus is Lord, and you are genuinely professing faith in him, then brother and sister, you need to know that Holy Spirit, that same Spirit, has given you a gift to be of value to your brothers and sisters. Let us not be uninformed about these things. So let's go on and look at verses 4 to 6. We're going to actually camp out here quite a bit. If we go on to the next slide, let me read that again. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Okay, let's pause at the very first sentence. There are different kinds of gifts. So that word, gift, or spiritual gift that we say, is in Greek the word charisma. And we may know that word, right? We get the word charismatic from that word. It means a gracious work of God on our behalf. That's what it means. A gracious work of God on our behalf. It is something that is undeserved. It is something that is freely given for us. So there is another verse that we may not kind of automatically go to where we have this word gift. It is in Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 23. Paul writes this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the charisma, same word, the charisma of God is eternal life, right? Eternal life is a charisma. You didn't earn it. When you trusted in Jesus for your salvation, it was a supernatural gift of God, of grace, given to you. So all gifts from God are charismatic. That means, my skeptical, reformed, cessationist friend, in a sense, we're all charismatic here. We'll leave it there. Now, Paul says there are different kinds of charisma, right? So there's not the only ones. We read verses 8 to 11. They're not the only ones that we have. In fact, in four other parts of the New Testament, we get to see some of these gifts listed. Now, I'm a big fan of giving challenges and homework. I come from a long background of giving homework to people, so I'm just so used to doing it. I want to give you homework over the next 3 weeks, and I think it's nice homework. Let us reflect and meditate over the different parts of Scripture which talk about these gifts. Here's the challenge for you, your spiritual gifts homework challenge. Over the next few weeks, I invite you to read these parts of the Bible where those gifts are listed. So we have Romans 12, specifically verses 6 to 8, but let's get the context. We have 1 Corinthians 12, again, 1 to 11 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 13 is this chapter of love, and then 1 Corinthians 14 is all about prophecy and tongues. So I invite you, read all three chapters. We have Ephesians 4, just a little bit, and we have 1 Peter 4 also just a little bit there. So if you put together all of those passages, you will get approximately 20 gifts. 20 different gifts are listed. I don't think it's meant to be definitive. I think we have enough to work on there, but I don't think the intention was, okay, here are all the gifts you're ever going to get, and 1 to 20, boom, 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 here they are. There are different parts of the Bible. But it shows us something about this triune God, that there are different expressions. There are different ways of working of this one triune God who in our text we get the Trinity, right? Here's a basic principle to begin with. Here's a foundation pillar. Here's a grounding for us. There is a wonderful theologian called Sam Storms. I would really recommend getting your hands on anything by this guy, Sam Storms. Now, he says there are two, not yet, I want to lead up to that. 1 second. There are two, maybe underlying kind of perspectives, two thoughts that we have when it comes to the gifts. Let's pause and see where we might go with these two sentences. God and his gifts. God in his gifts. Where are we going to go? Very important foundation principle. God and his gifts. Or God in his gifts. And underlying, unconsciously, we're going to have one of those. A God and his gifts perspective will mean that we think on some level that God is giving us stuff. He's given us. He's up there somewhere. And he's given me something that is separate from himself. So he is kind of, boom, whoa, healer, healer man. I can now have the power. I've been zapped. That's not what the text represents. It's God in his gifts. But often, unconsciously, we could think of, yeah, I've got some stuff that is separate from the Lord. No, 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 no. It is God in his gifts. That's what the text teaches. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. It is all God at work in us. It is God made manifest. It is God made visible, working through the gift he gives. That's really important. I want to quote you, Sam Storms. Here is the quote that I want to give to you. He says, spiritual gifts are not God bestowing, giving to his people something external to himself. The gifts are nothing less than God himself in us. So I think we would agree. I think, yeah, that sounds right. Let's consider then the implications of it. Consider for a moment the implications of having this God in his gifts outlook. We will need to be very careful when we deny or affirm any manifestation of those gifts. Any manifestation of the gifts we read, the word of prophecy, the word of faith. So if, after testing it, we'll talk about that more next week, but if after testing that gift, we affirm it, that means we are welcoming God. We are welcoming him into our presence. If we say no, that's not from God. We're denying him. And hopefully right. And quite possibly rightly. The manifestation may not be from God. We should clearly reject that. But I hope you get the healthy word of exhortation and caution. Let us not rush to affirm something or deny something. Because we are talking about the manifestation, the visible, tangible presence of God himself in our midst. That's the first principle. God in his gifts. Second principle. Many of us are drawn quite naturally to a certain kind of person. Now, I was just at a conference for 5 days. I did not leave the hotel for 5 days. And it was intense and it was wonderful. And we received a lot of very good teaching. And one teacher specifically, man, I could have heard this guy for hours. I don't know if you've ever been like that. He was so funny. And he's a wonderful storyteller. He had such charisma, such full of confidence. I could have listened to him for hours and hours and hours. Now, it's a little bit like that with the gifts. We can easily be attracted to the gifts which appear more supernatural, right? We're ignorant to this fact, though, that the text actually gives us it's the same Spirit who gives the gifts, the same Lord who works in the different ministries where those gifts are needed, and the same God who produces the different results in everybody. So, brothers and sisters, if I am only ever drawn to like one or two kind of really cool kinds of gifts, what does that say about our relationship with the triune God who works so differently in different people, who has such different expressions of himself? This principle, like the intention of Paul at Corinth, should correct any form of spiritual elitism in us when we realize it is the same Lord at work in different ministries, producing different results in different people. Okay, now in our text, I want to jump forward a little bit, trying to make home a little point. In verse 7, Paul writes this. Now to each one, manifestation of the Spirit is given, each one. So let's pause. That means young people professing Christ, given a gift. All people, male, female, it is not the apostles only the leaders only. You don't need to kind of work. I've worked so hard in the ministry for so long. Finally, God, you've recognized this. No, no, no. The Bible does not have that understanding of it. We see the whole church of carnal Corinth using their gift. Many different people. We have Stephen, Deacon Stephen, performing great wonders. Performing wonders and signs. We have disciple Ananias, healing Paul's blindness, giving him a word of knowledge. Paul never says, these kinds of gifts are just for a certain kind of people. No, no, no. The Bible does not have an understanding of a church that doesn't have the gifts. So, brief summary. Let's summarize what we've learned so far. First principle, we need, brothers and sisters, this God in his gifts thinking. The gifts are manifestations of God himself in us. God is not up there watching Netflix, doing the crossword, while his created beings are down here kind of playing at prophecy and healing. Oh, good one on that one. No, 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 no. It is him himself in us. Second principle, different kinds of gifts. Everybody receives one. God has different ways of working. And it produces different results. So clearly, God knows what's best for his church, right? Clearly. Now on this point, I want to kind of correct something and give us a heads up about something, especially if you're a newer Christian. We may come across people who try to tell us, listen, you can claim a gift from God. You can name it and you can claim it and it's yours. Oh, you haven't said this prayer. You just need to say these exact words. Follow me. I've got the formula. And if you say these words, God has to do it. He's got to do it. That, if I'm really blunt and German, that's a kind of manipulation. Because it's the person is taking on the role of the Holy Spirit and they're thinking, you can get him to do what you want. But our text says, no, 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 it is the Holy Spirit who decides. It's the Holy Spirit alone who distributes or withholds, if necessary. This does not mean we can't ask. In fact, the Bible exhorts us to ask. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 specifically tells us this. Verse 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So we don't claim it. We don't think we have a right. Like, I know what is best, but we can surely ask. And give it up to the Lord. Now, before we continue, I want to give us a real example. I don't want this to become too kind of theoretical. I want to give us like an actually, like a made up example. So we can see these verses in action, what they actually could look like. So here's the example. The same Spirit who gives, let's say, Tommy, the gift of healing, it's the same Spirit who gives Jane the gift of encouragement. Do your homework. Read Romans 12, verses 6 to 8 for that gift. So the same Spirit who gives Tommy the gift of healing will give Jane the gift of encouragement. Here's the scenario. Let's imagine that Alfred, I'm hoping there's no one in the church called Alfred, actually, because I'm imagining he's sick. There's no Alfred, right? Or Alfredo, or even... Let's say Alfred. Imagine Alfred, a longtime church member, he is sick. And God is not the author of this sickness, but he has allowed the sickness to take place. He permits it. Maybe God wants Alfred to learn to rely on him more. Maybe there's many reasons I could think of. Maybe God wants Alfred to grow in perseverance. God knows in Alfred's future, he's really going to need a lot of endurance. So he's allowed this sickness. Now, Alfred, during this season of suffering, would be greatly helped, would he not, by the tangible presence of God himself through someone who has the gift of encouragement. Someone like Jane. Someone like Jane who actually encourages him to look to the Lord, to keep his gaze focused. And this would help Alfred in this time of suffering to be able to keep his gaze focused and looking to the Lord. Let's imagine a slightly different scenario. Over here we have Fatima. Again, don't think so, but bear with me. Fatima, long-time church member, also sick. God has allowed this sickness to take place. He has permitted it. Yet in this case, maybe out of compassion, maybe simply because it is another way of helping Fatima and other believers grow in their faith, he decides to work through Tommy. And through Tommy, he heals Fatima for his glory, and so that the brothers and sisters around, Fatima included, would grow in their faith and obedience to Jesus. Those two scenarios show us same spirit, different gifts, different ways of working, all for the same benefit of growing his people. Now, we've spoken quite a bit then about the principles. I'd like us to talk a little bit about the purpose. So let's camp out on verse 7 and let's read that again. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the Greek word charisma is not the only word that is used in association with spiritual gifts. There is another word also. There's a few other words. One of them is diakonia. Diakonia means, literally translated, deacon, but it means serving and ministries. And there is this wonderful passage, which again is your homework, but here it is here, where we get to see charisma and diakonia working so well together. It is 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. What? To do what? To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then he talks about either speaking or serving. He categorizes them as speaking gifts or serving gifts. So the primary purpose then of the gift is to supernaturally serve others. Again, the primary purpose of the spiritual gifts is to supernaturally serve others so that others can grow in their faith. It is clearly a privilege to be given a gift, but it's not a kind of privilege in itself. It's not like a reward, right? It's not like, I've worked so hard, and God's like, you know what? You have worked really hard. Here's a gift of prophecy. Go wild. There you go. It's not like that. Gifts are not given to, like, knight somebody to some kind of status. They are given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit, the evidence of God himself in our midst, is for the common good. It's so that we can benefit, so that we can all flourish. Now, I want us to do something and make this, I want to hit home on this. Take 10 seconds and just do a 360 degree right now. Do it, please. Take a look around you. I want you to actually just look around in the faces of the people around you and listen to this. If you allow him, God will use you. He will give of himself through you to help grow the faith of these people who you just tried not to look at so closely. He'll do it. He will actually do that. That's an awesome responsibility, is it not? That is an awesome responsibility. But some of us, it may be a little like you're sitting on a spiritual lottery ticket, but you're unwilling to cash it in. And it could be because, yeah, you're still growing, and you don't know about this very well. So maybe this is helping with the principles and purpose. And maybe you're thinking, I don't know exactly what my gift is. Next week, we'll talk about that. But for some of us, it could be, man, you feel so disconnected, so apart from everybody else, you're not even sure how to kind of compute some of this stuff because you're wondering, and you've been wondering for a while, why everything around you seems to be stagnating. You know that word? Like in summer, a pool will just stagnate. It'll be like algae covered, and it will not move. You know why? There's no outflow. There's nothing going out. It's just staying like that with little bacteria underneath. I don't think it would be too simplistic to say churches struggle to grow when people don't use their gifts. They struggle to grow. Or we have 40, 50, 70 people using their gifts, 200 people kind of watching them do it. There was something that a football coach once said. He was asked to describe a football game. You may have heard this before. And he said, well, a football game, a soccer game, is 40,000 people who desperately need exercise, watching 22 players who desperately need a rest. Let us hope it is not like that. Now, the text says, for the common good, that includes you, your common good, my common good. So listen, if you want that spiritual stagnation that you may be feeling to change, life is kind of a feeling stuck and bacteria is growing underneath, you should know one way, not the only way, one way, that your relationship with the Lord and others can change when there is outflow as a result of you beginning to discover, beginning to develop, and beginning to use your gift for the benefit of other people. It changes you. It actually changes you. So let us wrap up and let us summarize what I've been trying to say in this. We want to be in line with the Holy Spirit every step of the way. The Holy Spirit is all about glorifying Jesus. He's all about making his name great. Let us keep this God in his gift mindset and think of through, listen, when you allow him to use you to do good to other people, he himself is there with you. Jesus promises us that, right? He promises us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And one of the main ways that actually you will experience his presence is when you receive a gift of encouragement, a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, a word of prophecy. And I'm sure you have too at some point. You've received that gift and whoa, I'm not marveling at this person. I am on my knees crying out to the Lord at how he saw me and was able to give me that word I needed so much. And vice versa. When I, as a co-laborer of Christ, am using the gift he has given to me for his benefit, how he uses me for his glory, how I get to be a part of that. I get to be a part of what he is doing, growing his church, glorifying his name. His presence is there. Let me ask us to just close our eyes and just reflect upon these things. I'm actually going to just pray something and just ask for a moment of silence after it. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've never once left us alone. Man, it would go so wrong without you every single step of the way. You never intended us just to try to do things of our own strength, of our own power. You want to do it all through us. That's the joy. Jesus, in this topic, as we think through these gifts in these next weeks, I pray for my brothers and sisters, I pray for myself, for a deepening of our understanding. Would you work in our hearts? I want to pray for those who are they just don't know much about this topic. They don't know what their gift is. They're not sure of it. They're struggling. Lord, would you provide clarity? Would you provide insight? Would you provide understanding for us? Lord, I pray that your name would be glorified. This is all for your glory. Jesus, I pray, would you grow your church? And I thank you that we get to be a part of that. Lord, I pray as we walk away from here today, would you just work in the hearts of all of us, revealing how good you are, revealing how you want to use us. Would we walk away from here marveling how you do work in such different ways? We thank you, Jesus, for this. And I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.